So we're on Daf Ayin, and we're on the top line, and the Gemara now is going to analyze something in the Mishnah that seems to be superfluous. It says, Ein notlin rishus, and two people cannot receive a bitul rishus, lomali. So the Gemara wants to know, why do I need that? Why do I need that chiddush? It seems that the Mishnah is superfluous and it's repeating that which already know, because the Mishnah had previously stated that hayushnayim osrim zel zeh, in a case where two people did not set up the eruv, they did not participate in the eruv, so they generated an isur one on the other, and therefore it's not going to make any difference if somebody is going to be mevatel rishus to them because they generate an isur one onto the other. So in other words, if there's only one person who didn't make the eruv, then bitul rishus is meaningful. But here there are two people. So lo tzricha, why do I need the Mishnah? And the answer is, afal gav di amri la, even in a situation where the b'nei achotzer, who are mevatel rishus to one of the two residents who didn't make an eruv, said kni al manas lahaknos, that I am transferring ownership over my rishus to you, and I'm expecting that you would in turn be machted the rishus that I'm being machted to you, to the other person who lives in this chatzer and did not participate in the Eruv. So at the end of the day, there'll be a bit of rishus to both of them. And the Mishnah is telling me, no, that's not going to be effective. And the reason for that is because bitul rishus can only be effective if it's meaningful in its moment, at that very moment that you are mevatel. But here, the bitul to one of the two residents who didn't participate in the Eruv is not meaningful because osrim zel zeh. And it's only later when the first resident fulfills this condition and transfers ownership over the chatzer to the other one, only then the bittul will be meaningful. But the bittul at its time was not meaningful. So this is going to be our most important sugya for today. We'll have another sugya Rav Nachman, but this I think is the primary sugya for today. The suffix of Abai was, and Abai had a definite opinion on this question, as we'll soon see, Chamisha Sheshruyim B'chotzer Achas V'Shachach Echem Mem V'lo Erev. So you have five residents in a common chotzer. One of them forgot to participate in the Erev. Kishu Mevatel Reshuso, if he's going to be Mevatel his Reshus, because he is now a barrier to the validity of the Erev, because he didn't participate in the Erev, so he has to get himself out of this chatzah, so to speak, by renouncing his rishus in the chatzah. Then, tzarech levatel chol ech v'echad olo. Does he have to go around one by one to every single member of the chatzah, meaning the other four members, and personally, individually, be mevatel his rishus to each one of them? Or do we see and define all the residents in that chatzer as one entity, such that if and when this fifth fellow who did not participate in the Erev is mevatel's rishus to any one of them, that one represents the entire entity? Amale, Rabbah said to Abaye, Tzarech levatel lechol echad v'echad. It's not enough that this person who was not part of the Eruv renounce his rishus in the chatzah to one of the other four residents. He's got to do so lechol echad v'echad, individually to each one of them. And I'll just read to you quickly a summary of Rashi here. He says, Bitul li echad eino moil. According to Rabbah, to be mevatel to one of the residents is not effective, even though that person to whom he was mevatel, he does acquire possession over that 1/5, you know, from that fifth fellow, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, we'll call him Zvulun, right? From that Zvulun, he does acquire from Zvulun, and even though Yisachar, let's say, was Ma'ariv with the other four fellows, but Kevin Shabito Li'echad, Li'achara Eruv, the Bittel took place after the Eruv. So first there was an Eruv, and at the time of the Eruv, Lo Hayal Das Harashus Shel Zeh Shelo Eruv Imoyem. The Eruv was not set up with the understanding that the Rashus of Zvulun would be part of the Eruv, because at that point, Reuven had not yet renounced his ownership in the Chatzer. And therefore, since the process of Bittel was in its time late, it was not a Bittel that was done in order to set up the Eruv. You see, again, you know, if Zvulun is being mevatel his reshus to Yisachar, then now Yisachar, who has now two parts in this chatzer, he can get together with the other members of the chatzer and create an Eruv. But the problem was that the Eruv was set up first, at time T1, and the Bittel was set up later. And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this Shita of Rabbah, and there's going to be a Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not we Paskin like Rabbah or like Abaye, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that in a situation where one of them was Mevatel, but only on behalf of one, meaning Zvulun was Mevatel's Rishus only to Yisachar in this case, and now he wants to do a second Bittel, because he realizes that his first Bittel was ineffective, then he has to go back and be Mevatel a second time. And in one Bittel, he has to be Mevatel for all the other members of the Chatzer. Why? Because since the first Bittel took his ownership rights out of his possession, now the second Bittel is meaningless. Because Zvulun, in this case, at this point, doesn't own anything in the Chatzer anymore. So how could be Mevatel his Rishus in the Chatzer? The answer is he's going to have to redo and repeat his original Bittel, but this time do it right. Do it on behalf of all the residents, not just on behalf of Yisachar. So this is the opinion of Rabbah, that the Bittel to be effective has to be a Bittel vis-a-vis every other member of the Chatzer. As we'll soon see, Abaye disagrees. Eisvei, Abaye asks Akash on Rabbah. We learnt in a Braisa. Now this Braisa is a somewhat long and complicated Braisa, and it has many parts to it. I counted 7 different parts to this Braisa. What I suggest we do, just for the sake of expediency, is that we just read through the 7 parts of this Braisa very superficially, because the Gemara will soon analyze every single part of the Braisa, one by one. If we had time for Chazara, then we would go back to the Braisa and do the entire Braisa with all the Gemara's insights from the get-go. But now we're just going to plow through the Braisa, so to speak, on a very superficial level. Now, for the purpose of Abaye and Rav, the most important part of this Braisa is literally the Reisha of the Reisha, the first opening statement in the Braisa. Echad Shelo Irev. So we have this fellow who we'll call him Zvulun, and he was not part of the Eruv. even though he lives in that chotzer. No sein rishusli echad she'erev, which would sound like, as we'll soon see, Abaye, but against Rabbah, because Rabbah says it's not enough that he gives rishus, meaning he's mevatel's rishus to one of the other residents of the chutz, he's got to do it for all of them. And here it seems, no, all he has to do is be mevatel's rishus to one of the bnei achutz, and that's sufficient. Then, shnayim shelo ervu, if there were two people who did not participate in the Erev, nosnim rishusam l'shnayim she'ervu, they could be mevatel their rishus to two people of the bnei achotzer that did set up the Erev. So you have four people living in the chotzer. Two were part of the Erev, two were not. The two that were not part of the Erev can be mevatel their rishus to the two who were part of the Erev. Oli echad shelo Erev. Or if, let's say, there were three people living in the chotzer, none of them participated, they didn't set up an Erev at all, two out of the three could be mevatel verishus, respectively, to this third guy, so at least that third person would be able to carry from his house out into the chotzer. Aval ein echad she'erev, no sein rishus ol echad shelo erev. However, one person who did not participate in the Eruv could not give his Rishus to another person who didn't set up the Eruv. That has to be understood. That's going to be analyzed by the Gemara. Ve'ein shnayim she'eruvu nosnim Rishusan l'shnayim shelo eruvu. So although we said in the case of shnayim shelo eruvu nosnim Rishusan l'shnayim she'eruvu, but the flip side, in a case of shnayim she'eruvu that want to give their Rishus to shnayim shelo eruvu, that's going to be invalid. And again, just to a clue as to why this would be invalid, we could say the following, that as soon as the Shnayim She'irvu would be Mavatel Rishus to one of the two Shelo Erevu, and then they want to do it for the other one in a two-stage process, then the first Bittel is not going to be effective, and as we said before, the Bittel has to be effective in its time, in its moment. Then the Braisa goes on, it says, Ein Shnayim Shelo Erevu, Nosim Rishusim L'Shnayim Shelo Erevu. Because again, it's going to be Bazachar Zeh, which means that at one point, there's only one individual who is not going to be a barrier for the Erev, but we have the other individual, and that's Osrim Zelzeh. So as I said before, Rabbi Osai, we're going to have to analyze each section of the Braisa separately, but now we're going to focus on the first opening line in the Braisa. Ketani mias reisha, echad shelo erev, no sein rishus oli echad she'erev. So that it seems that all he has to do is be mevatel rishus for one and not for others. But this is not satisfactory, because what's going on over here? Are there two residents in the chotzer? That's impossible. How could you have a situation of two residents in a chotzer, one set up an Erev and the other did not? The other did not participate. How could you set up an Erev if there's only one person who's part of the Erev? Hechi dami. What's the case? If there's no third resident, is Bahari man Erev? With whom is he making an Erev? An Erev was always at least a minimum of two people getting together to set up a common Rishus. Ela pshita dikachrina ba'dei. So it must be that this Bryce is telling me that even though the person who wasn't part of the Erev is mevatel is just to one of the two, that's sufficient. And the Bryce went out of its way to tell me that no sein rishus li'echad mibnei achotzer she'erev. Uktani li'echad she'erev. And it's telling us that all you need is to be mevatel rishus to one of the people who are part of the Eruv. And that's an explicit contradiction to Rabbah, who says, no, you have to be mevatel rishus to every one of the bnei achotzer who are part of the Eruv. The Rabbah, how is Rabbah going to defend himself against this onslaught from the Brais? The case is that there were two people who were are positive participants in the Eruv. One of them died. And in such a situation, Rabbah would have to agree that all you have to do is be Mevatel Yerushus to that one person because there's no one else. So you just have to, in a certain sense, reinstate the Eruv. And the reason why you need to reinstate the Eruv is because one person, one resident, failed to join in the Eruv. But we can remove him through Bittul. He's Mesalik himself. And in this case, he only has to be Mesalik himself vis-a-vis one member of the Chatzah, because there's only one member of the Chatzah who's yet alive. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. E da'aviu mis emos seifa. Are you, Rabbah, going to be able to consistently, throughout this brisa, maintain that interpretation that there was another member of the Chatzah who died? Let's look at the next part of the brisa. The brisa says, Avol ein echad she'erev, nosein reshuso li echad shelo erev. One person who was part of the Eruv cannot be mevatel his reshus to one person who was not part of the Eruv. Now, ida haviu mes, if as you, Rabbah, interpreted the ratio of the Braisa, so we're talking about a case where there was another person who was part of the Eruv, and he's gone, he died, is Amai lo. So if there's only one remaining person who was part of this Eruv who's alive, because the other member of the Chatzer who was part of the Eruv died, then why shouldn't that surviving member of the Chatzer who was actively involved in the Eruv, why shouldn't he be able to be Mevatel his Rishus? I mean, that here the other person doesn't have a Rishus to be Mevatel, he's already gone. El Pshita De'isa. We have no question at all that in the Sefer we're talking about a case, for sure, where there's another member of the Eruv who's alive, and was part of the Eruv, and if only one member of that group of two residents who was part of the Eruv is going to be Mevatel's Rishus to the person who ignored the Eruv, then you don't have any heter because you're still left with one other person who was part of the Eruv and now was not Mevatel's Rishus. Umi the Sefer de Isa, Reishanami de Isa. If the Sefer is talking about clearly a case where there's another member of the Chatzer who was part of the Eruv and is still alive and well, and that's why he undermines the validity of this Bittul Rishus, then we should assume that the Braisa and the integrity of the Braisa is such that the Reisha should also be talking about a case where that other person, that third resident who's not mentioned explicitly, is alive and well. So Rabbah deflects this and he says, my Iria, who says that that's a proof that from the Sefer you could prove the Reisha? Hakidisa, Hakidisa. So one part of the Braisa is talking about a case that's the Sefer of the Braisa where the other member of the Eruv was and still is alive, whereas the Reisha is talking about a case where the other member of the Eruv who participated in the Eruv is dead. Teda. In fact, says the Gemara, we can really prove that Rabbah is correct and that we have to differentiate between the two parts of the Braisa. Why? The Ketani Sefer Dereisha, if you look at the second part of the Reisha, it says, Ushnaim Shlo Ervu, Nosnim Meshusam, Lishnaim She'ervu, which implies that you have two people who were not part of the Eruv. They want to be Mevatel Rishus to the two people who were part of the Eruv. But let's go back to the Braisa for a second. And that's a valid case, but the reason why that's valid is because there were two people who were part of the Eruv and they can now be Mevatel their Rishus, but they can be Mevatel their Rishus only to the I meant to say the two people who are not part of the Eruv can now be mevatel their rishus to the two people who are part of the Eruv. But it seems clearly that if they would be mevatel their rishus to only one person who was part of the Eruv, that would not be valid. So we see clearly from this brisa that the brisa requires that there be bittel rishus to all those who are part of the Eruv. In this case, there was Shnayim. And it's not sufficient to be mevatel rishus to one of them. So again, the reason why the brisa says that the bittel rishus was to Shnayim, in order to imply that a bittel rishus to one of Shnayim would not be enough. And that clearly supports Rabbah. Now, since Abaye is the antagonist here, he's the one who holds that it's enough that you mevatel rishus to one of the B'nai HaChotzer who was part of the Eruv, what's he going to do with this seifa of the Reisha? Amar Abaye, l'shnayim, what does it mean that the two people who are not part of the Eruv have to be mevatel rishus to both people who are part of the Eruv? Li echad mishnayim. It means one of the two. Ihochi, if that be the case, listening, the Brisa should have said, li echad she'eruv, or li echad shelo eruv. In other words, the language of the Brisa, which is L'shnayim She'eruvu, is very difficult. It's misleading, because according to you, Abaye, it's not necessary to be Mevatel Rishus to both the members of the Eruv. All you have to do is be Mevatel Rishus to one of them, Kasha. So the Gemara leaves this with a Kasha. And again, there's a long discussion here that the word Kasha is different than the word Tyuvta, and how would we really defend Abaye against this question. Okay. Now, the Gemara goes back to explain the Brisa piece by piece. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to interpret this Brisa both according to Abaye and according to Rav. All right. Now, just give me a second here. All right, I'm not necessarily finding what I was looking for, but in any event, let's go on. So we have now the following. The Brisa says that Echad Shelo Erev Nosen Rishuso Li Echad She'erev. So that was the first paragraph, the first statement in this Brisa. So Abaye, according to Abaye, it means that even though there are two people who set up this Eruv, participate in the Eruv, nevertheless, you only need Bittel on the part of the one who was not Ma'ariv to one of those two, De'isa, even though the other one is alive and well. The Kamashmal and the Brice wants to teach us that De'ein Tzarech Levata Rishus L'chol Echad V'Echad. That's enough, it's sufficient that he's Mevata Rishus to one of the members of the participants in the Eruv. But Rabbah, is the Havu Miss. Rabbah is going to have to assume that the other participant in the Eruv is gone, because if he would have been alive, then we would require that the Bittel Rishus of the one, on the part of the one who is not part of the Eruv, would be vis-a-vis both of them. But here's a case where one of them died, and the Mishnah is telling us, Lo Gazrin Zimnin De'isa. We're not going to say that we cannot validate this bittel, because if we validate this bittel, then we're going to say that bittel is valid even if the other participant in the Eruv is alive and well. And the Brisa is being mechadish that we're not afraid of such a thing. Okay, now we go on to the next part of the Brisa. Shnayim she'irvu nosnim reshusam li'echad shalo eruv. All right, so we have two people who were part of the Eruv, and they want to enunciate their ownership in the chatzer on behalf of the one person who's not part of the Erev, so that person at least could carry from his house into the chatzer. So the Gemara asks, Pshita. Now, why is the Gemara saying Pshita? Because the Mishnah itself said that if one person was not Ma'ariv, he could be Mevatel his Rishus to the Shnaim She'irvu. And in this case, where there are, where the one person who is not part of the Eruv is going to be on the receiving end, meaning that the two people who are part of the Eruv want to be Mevatel Rishus to him, there's no reason to set up a Gzerah because of the flip, in other words, in the same scenario, but in the flip kind of a bittel, because if we had flipped the bittel the other way around, and the participants in the Eruv if there were two people who did not participate in the Eruv, and just one second, just want to get the cases. Shnaim she'irvu knows the Meshusam li echad shelo Eruv. So again, you have the two who are part of the Eruv, and they want to be Mevat Rishus to the one who was an Eruv. Now let's flip it around, and let's talk about a case where one person who is not part of the Eruv wants to be Mevat Rishus to the two people who were participants of the Eruv. And we said that would be valid. So in the flip case, where you have Shnayim She'irvu who want to be Mevatel the Rishus to the one who wasn't Ma'ariv, that should be certainly valid, because what are you going to tell me? There's a Gzera, had it been the other way around. Well, had it been the other way around, and one person who was not part of the Eruv, right? One person who was not part of the Eruv, he wanted to be Mevatel his Rishus to the two people who are part of the Eruv, he can certainly do so. Again, the machlokas Abai v'Rava, Abai and Rabba, would be whether he has to do it to each one of them or to one of them is sufficient. But everybody agrees that the one who is not participant in the Erev could be Mevatel's Rishus to the two who were part of the Erev. So in our case, where the two who were part of the Erev in the flips want to be Mevatel their Rishus to one who is not Ma'ariv, then certainly it's valid. Why would he even entertain the idea that it wouldn't be valid? Mal detema, the Gemara justifies this chiddush of the second part of the Brisa. Kevan, I would have said to lo erev, since the whole purpose of this exercise. Oh, that's the word I wanted. The whole purpose of this exercise is to allow Levi, who was not a participant in the Erev, to carry from his house to the Chatzer, is liknese. Maybe I would entertain the idea that the Rabbanan should put that foot down, and in this case, invalidate the Bittel, because why should Levi be a Chote Niskar? Meaning, why should he gain from the fact that he did not participate in the Erev? Maybe we should be punishing him for not participating in the Erev, Kamash Malon. The Bryce wants to tell me that we don't impose a penalty on him, and then he's going to now be the proud acquirer of the two rishuyos of Reuven and Shimon, and now Levi will be able to carry from his chotzer, from his house to the chotzer. Now we go on to the third case in the Braisa. Shnaim shelo irvu, nos the mishusam l'shnaim she'irvu. Okay. L'rabba, now, let's go slowly. According to Rabba, who holds that a person who wasn't part of the Eruv has to be mevatel rishus to each one of those members of the participants in the Eruv. So why does the Tana need to teach me that if two people fail to participate in the Eruv, they can be mevatel to the two people that were participants in the Eruv? Wouldn't it be enough to rely on the Braisa that already taught us that two people could be mevatel to one person who didn't make the Eruv. Right? Let me just go over this one more time. We're talking about a case of Shnayim Shelo Eruvu. And if Shnayim Shelo Eruvu can be mevatel their reshus to one person who's part of the Eruv, why shouldn't they be able to be mevatel their reshus to two people who participate in the Eruv? What is the Braisa come to be mechadish now according to Rabbah? Tana Seifa Ligluye Reisha. The Tana wants you to mention this din at the end of this, towards the end of the Braisa, in order to teach me how to understand the beginning of the Braisa, that what we learned in the beginning of the Braisa, that a person could be mevatel his reshus if he wasn't part of the Eruv to one person who was part of the Eruv. That's only in a case where there were two people who were part of the Eruv and one of them died. Abayu holds that if a person wasn't part of the Eruv, he only has to be mevatel his reshus to one person of the participants of the Eruv. So why did the Tana have to repeat this din here in the case of Shnayim Shelo Irvu? Nos the Meshus and the Shnayim She Irvu. And the Gemara answers, Shnayim Shelo Irvu Itztrichle. We need this additional statement in the case of two people who aren't part of the Irv. Salkit Dait Kamini Ligzar Dilma Osi Livetulele. We should have a gzera that if two people weren't part of the Eruv, they cannot be mevatel their reshus, because if they can be mevatel their reshus, which the Brice is being mechadish, then we have a possible tos, which would mean that we might mistakenly come to the conclusion that even others are able to be mevatel for Shnayim Shelo Irvu. Meaning that we would flip it around the other way. The Braisa is talking about a case of Shnayim Shelo Irvu, and they're being mevatel their reshus for Shnayim She'irvu. But what about the flip side? In the case where Shnayim Shelo Irvu where Shnayim want to be mevatel their reshus to two people Shelo Irvu, and that's not valid, because what you're going to do is, again, as we said before, you're going to separate a bittel for each one of the people who is not ma'ariv, and that's not going to be matir tiltel in the chatzah, because you have another person who is not part of the Eruv, and then you're going to have to do a second bittel. And when you do a bittel piecemeal one after the other, that's not valid. Kamash Malon, now our Bryce wants to tell us that if two people forgot to participate in the Eruv, they could be mevatel their reshus. And we should not confuse that, and we won't confuse that with a case where we're being mevatel the reshus to the two people who are not part of the Eruv. So to be mevatel the reshus to two people who aren't part of the Eruv, that we cannot do. But to mevatel the reshus to two people who are part of the Eruv, that we're going to validate. And we're not worried about the gzera for the case of two people to be mevatel it to two people who are not part of the Eruv. Then the Braisa tells us that if two people weren't part of the Eruv and they want to be mevatel their reshus to two people who are ma'ariv oli echad shelo Eruv, okay, so you now have three people in the chatzer, and none of them were part of the Eruv. Now two of them want to get together and be mevatel their reshus to the third guy. Lovely, what's the chiddush in that case? I mean, there's no reason why we would even suspect that in this case the bittel shouldn't operate. Ma'u detame the Gemara answers, Hani Mili. When do we say there's a bittel reshus? That's only heichad miktsas and erev miktsas and lo erev. Meaning, the bittel reshus was an enterprise that was enacted, was instituted as a kind of a substitute for an eruv. When you have a case where some of the bnei achatzah were part of the eruv, some of them weren't part of the eruv. But heichad kulo la erevu, if not even a single member of the residents of this chatzer lifted up a finger to create an eruv liknisinu, in such a case we should have a knas. And why would we have a knas? Kedeshlo tishtakach toris eruv. Basically, we now have an opening that we can circumvent the whole requirement in eruv. That's not exactly true, because we're only going to successfully be matir chotzah from the bias of one of the members of the chotzah to that member of the chotzah. But nevertheless, it is a way of satisfying a heter tiltal from a bias to a chotzah without going through the whole motion, the whole process of an eruv. And the next generation is not even going to remember eruv, because they're going to get so used to this kind of bitul rishus. Hamash Malan, the Bryce wants to tell me, no, even in such a case where not one single resident participated in the eruv, there still is a valid bitul rishus. Then we go on in the Bryce, and we're up to the following case. Aval, this is number 5 in the Braisa. Aval ein echad she'erev nosein reshuso liechad shelo erev. And again, we're going to have two interpretations here, right? Because if you translate this Braisa literally, it sounds like you can set up a reshus to one person. Is Abaye is going to say that Tana Seifa L'Gluya Reisha. In other words, we're going to have to assume that in the Reisha, when it says Echad She'erev, it means there were two people that were part of the Erev and one of them died. Because if you take a look at the Seifa, it says Echad She'erev. So what does that mean? So the Tana writes this din at the end of the Braisa to teach us and shed a light about the beginning of the Braisa, which means that just like in this din, in the Seifa of the Braisa uses the language Echad She'erev, even though we're going to have to say there are two people that were part of the Eruv, again, in this case, as opposed to the Reisha, they're both alive, because if one of them would have died, then he could be Mevatel's Reshus to the one who was not part of the Eruv, and the Bittel would be meaningful, would be valid. Here the Braisa invalidates the Bittel. So we have no choice but to assume that Echad She'erev means that one of the two people who were part of the Erev. Again, if there was only one person, then certainly he could be Mevatel's Rishus to the other person. But here there were two people. Is then we go back to the beginning of the Brisa, and when the beginning of the Brisa and the Reisha says Echad She'erev in case number one, then what it means is one of the two people who are, I'm sorry, when it says Echad Shalo Erev Nosein Rishuso Li Echad She'erev, the Echad She'erev at the end of that statement is referring to one of the two people who are part of the Erev, but in this case, one of them had died. Is L'Rabba. Just one second. I just cross out the last sentence that I said about one of them had died, because I made a mistake. That's according to Rava, not according to Abaye. Is L'Rava, who holds that the one person who is not part of the Eruv has to be Mevatel's Rishus to every single other member of the Bnei Achatz who were part of the Eruv, and therefore he interpreted the beginning of the Brice as a case where there was an Eruv of Shnayim and one of them died. Now, this Sefer doesn't really add anything, so the answer is either the Tanaresha Taninami Seifa. This is what you call Agav. Agav means once the Tana in the first part of the Braisa had to formulate one din, and that's the din of Echad Shelo Erev, that he can Mevatel's Rishus to those who are part of the Erev, and if one of them died, then he only has to be Mevatel's Rishus to one of them. So the Tana in the second part of the Braisa is also going to address a similar situation, but in the reverse. And the hepech is that if one of them, of the ones who are Erev, is being Mevatel's Rishus to the one who wasn't an Erev, then im echad me'elu she'erev, meaning there were two people who are part of the Erev, and only one of those two people is being Mevatel's Rishus to the one who who is not part of the Eruv, that's not going to be valid. Then the Braisa says, and this I believe is the sixth part of the Braisa, Ein, let's just double check that, Ein Shnayim She'ervu, Nosnim Shusam L'Shnayim She'lo Ervu. Okay, Hasu Lamali, why does the Braisa have to go ahead and repeat that din? It's a Dover Poshut. Why? Because after Bittul, the Chatzah still has Rishus L'Shnayim Shelo Irvu. And that means Lo Osrim Zel Zeh. Do you follow? So we're talking about a case with Shnayim She'irvu, and they want to be Bavatel their Rishus. Well, that's not going to be a valid Bittul Rishus, because let's say you have Reuven and Shimon that were part of the Eruv. When Reuven is Mavatel, you still have Shimon. So that Reuven's Bittul cannot be meaningful in its time. And that's called Osrim Zelze Lotzricha. The Bryce has to tell me this. Why? Debatale Chadmi Nayu Lechavre. That amongst those, right, we said there were two people that were not part of the Eruv, right? Shelo Eruv. One of those two people is now going to be Mevatel his Rishus to the other person who was not part of the Eruv. Ma'am Ditema Lishtere Lei. That in this case it should be valid for that last of the four, right? So you had two people part of the Eruv, two people one part of the Eruv, and now the two people are part of the Eruv are being Mavatel the Rishus, Bozech or Zeh, to one and then to the other. Now, when they were Mavatel the Rishus to the first one, we'll call him Levi, he went ahead and he was Vatel the Rishus to Yisachar. So at least Yisachar should be allowed to carry, because he's now the only one who really has Rishus in this Chatzah. Everyone else packed out. Kamash Malah, no. The problem here is not in Yisachar. The problem is in Reuven and Shimon. Meaning, came to be in the Batel, when those who were part of the Eruv were Mevatel the Rishus, to the person, we'll call him Levi, who wasn't part of the Eruv, Lo Havile Sharyusa Ba'ai Chatzah. The Bittel itself could not be Matir. Is therefore low, therefore it's not valid. And finally, we get to the last seventh part of the Braisa. So, V'ein Shnayim Shelo Eruvu, Nosnim Meshusam L'Shnayim Shelo Eruvu. Hasu Lomali, why does the Braisa have to repeat that din? This din was already derived from that which we learned earlier, that two people, She'eruvu, cannot be Mevatel their Rishus to two people, Shelo Eruvu. So that now we're just in the flip side. Instead of the two people in the previous case who were part of the Eruv, who cannot be Mevatel their Rishus to two people who weren't part of the Eruv, we're going to say now that two people who are not part of the Eruv cannot be Mevatel their Rishus to two people. Just 1 second. V'ein Shnayim Shelo Eruv, Nosnim Shusam L'Shnayim Shelo Eruv. Right, because every time we have Shnayim, then the Bittel cannot be effective in its time, because it's only going to be a Bittul vis-a-vis one of them, and then the other one is Osrim Zelze. Lo Tzrichi, why do we need this Braisa to repeat this disqualification of Bittul, which we would have known from the previous section of the Braisa? The answer is Kni, Diamri Kni Almanas Lahaknos, that when they were being Mevatel to one of the members of the Chotzer, who was not part of the Eruv, they said to him, this Kinyan, that our Rishus is now being transferred over to you, and you become the, so to speak, owners of that Rishus, it's only on the condition that you transfer that over to Yisachar, as we'll call him, right? So Levi gets the Rishus of Reuven and Shimon, but that's only valid up until the moment that he, as a Shliach, will now transfer ownership of Reuven and Shimon and their rishus over to Yisachar, and therefore we would think that such a bittul should be valid. And the Bryson wants to teach me, no, that's not valid, because the bittul now is considered to be a two-stage bittul. First it goes to Levi, and then from Levi it goes to Yisachar. I'm not sure why I mentioned Yisachar and not Yehuda. Okay, anyway. All right, so that's the majority of what we have to do for today. And at this point, we could more or less take life easy, because the balance of today's daf is a heck of a lot easier than the first part of the daf. Although, even if you feel, as I feel, that I would have to go over this many, many times and, make sure all the nuances are fitting into place, but I think we got the general flow of it. We need more chazara, that's obvious. Boy, minei rabba, rav amir, rav nachman, yoreish, maush, yevatel, rishus. So let's say Reuven was part of the Eruv, and he died. And now, Chanoch, his son, inherits his father. Can Chanoch now inherit the rights of Bittul Rishus? So obviously, Reuven did not participate in the Eruv, even though he was a full-fledged owner of one of the homes in the Chotzer. And now, what's the status of the Yoresh? Here we turn to Daf Ayin Amid Beis. Hecha di boi li or Reuven me esmol motzi mi Orev. According to one side in the Suffolk, a person is not capable of being Mavatel Rishus unless he himself could have been part of the Eruv. And in this case, on Erev Shabbos, he could not possibly be part of the Eruv because his father Reuven was alive. Is therefore Bitulei Nami... Just one second. I'm sorry. So, in a case where someone could have been part of the Erev on Erev Shabbos and he failed to do so, is then Bitulei Nami Motzi Mevatel, he could be Mevatel his Rishus on Shabbos. Aval Hai, but in the case of Yorish Kevedi Boy Erev Emeswa Lo Motzi Ma'arev, he did not have any rights in the Chotzer such that he could be part of the Erev Lo Motzi Mevatel. In other words, the enterprise of Bittul is a substitute for Eruv, if this person could have been part of the Eruv, but clearly the Orish could not have been part of the Eruv on Erev Shabbos. O Dilma, or can we circumvent that whole logic by saying Yoresh Kari Deavua Ninu? In other words, the Yoresh is not a separate entity. He just steps into the feet, to the shoes of his father, and he's like a representative of his father, just like his father could have set up the Eruv yesterday before Shabbos. So too, he now can fill in for his father and do the Bittul Rishus in an event that his father did not participate in the Eruv. And here we have a Machlokes Amoroim. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman responded to Rava, Ani Omer, my opinion is, Mevatel, the Oresh has the same status as his father, and he has a valid Bittul Rishus. Vahani, to Beis Shmuel, Taru. However, the Talmidim who came out of the Beis Medrash of Shmuel, they transmitted that Eino Mevatel, that Yorish does not have the ability to be Mevatel Rishus. Again, the next Shabbos, then for sure he could be Mevatel Rishus. But as far as this Shabbos is concerned, since on Erev Shabbos he didn't have rights or the ability to be part of an Erev because he's not a Balachotze, then he cannot be granted rights of Bittul on Shabbos. Eisvei, the Gemara now objects to Rav Nachman. We have a brisa that says Zeh HaKlal. Now the brisa is made up of two parts, a resh and a sefer. And the Zeh HaKlal is always going to come to expand the bounds. That's called lasuye. So we're going to have a lasuye in the resh that we're about to learn, and then we're going to have a lasuye in the sefer. So the resh says Kol Shem Mutar LeMikzas HaShabbos Hutu L'Chol HaShabbos. So now, let's go through the three parts of this brisa. Kol shehuta l'mitzvah Shabbos. The first part of the Brayse says mutal kol Shabbos. What's his case? So we're talking about a case where the Eruv was valid and all the conditions necessary for the Eruv were extant on Erev Shabbos, but then the reality changed. Is we don't undermine the status of the Eruv. Kigon. So you have two chatzeros that share either a Pesach or a Chalon. So Eruv derech haPesach v'nistam haPesach, Eruv derech Chalon v'nistam haChalon. If the Eruv was set up through a Pesach or alternatively through a Chalon, a window between that connects the two chatzeros, the Eruv is valid, even though on Shabbos, what happened was Nistam. Somebody, you know, let's say there was an avalanche and a major falling of stones now clogged up and completely neutralized the Pesach or the Chalon, is nevertheless, the Erev remains valid and we're going to continue carrying in this Erev during the balance of Shabbos. I have a note here. He says, He wonders how you're going to carry from one chutz to the other if nistam achalon or nistam pesach. He says you can throw something over the pesach. All right. Now we go back to zeaklal lasuye mai. Right. I'm adding the word mai. So what is the zeaklal coming to include? Mavoi. So we now have a mavoi that has three machitzos. And the fourth machitz is what's called a lechi or a korah, which is mate tiltul inside the mavui. Shenitlu korosav l'chayav, on Shabbos itself, the korah or the lechi was removed. So on Erev Shabbos, everything was fine. You could carry in this mavui. But now the conditions that were mati the mavui no longer exist because in the meantime, the korah was taken away. Let's say a wind came and blew it away. I don't know, or the lechi was taken away. And now we go on, but since again it was mutar on Erev Shabbos, it remains mutar for the balance of Shabbos. Now we go on to the second part of this brisa. Kol shenesel mikse Shabbos nesel l'kol Shabbos kula kagon shnei batim b'shnei tzidi rishus harabim v'kifum nochrim mechitza b'Shabbos. You may remember this case that we had where you have two houses on two sides of rishus harabim, and clearly going into Shabbos there were no mechitzos that would separate the area between the houses from the rest of rishus harabim. There was no heta to carry from one house to the other, and now in the middle of Shabbos the goyim came and they set up mechitzos on both ends of the houses, respectively, such that now the area between the two houses, which is technically in Rishus HaRabim, is completely surrounded by four mechitzos. But yet, nevertheless, we're not going to allow carrying from the house to the other house or vice versa, because if there was no possibility of a heter, of an eruv, on Erev Shabbos, because it was Rishus HaRabim separating between the two homes, then once it was an Issa that was generated on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, that Issa remains for the entire balance of Shabbos. So what's that klal? Now again, what's the chidush over here? Lasuye mai, lasuye meis nochri b'Shabbos. That if the guy who could not participate in the Erev on Erev Shabbos, he was a resident in the Chatzah, therefore his residence in the Chatzah completely undermines the Erev, and the other two Jewish residents of the Chatzah are Osrim Zal Zeh, and now one of them wants to be Mevatel his Rishus to his Chaver so that he can be Matir Hotzah from at least his friend's house into the chater, is this bittul is not going to be effective because there was already an Iser Hotzah in this chater at the beginning of Shabbos, and we cannot lift that Iser in the middle of Shabbos, even if the guy dies in the middle of Shabbos. You would think that what was the factor, the chemical agent that undermined this Erev, it was the existence of the Nachri. Now in the middle of Shabbos, the Nachri Nebuch is gestorben. He's not alive anymore, so now there's no barrier and the Erev should be valid, but the answer is no. We cannot even have a bittul reshus on Shabbos. That's the Asuye Mai. K'tani, the Brisa says, now the Gemara is coming to analyze the Brisa for our purposes about Rav Nachman. It says, Kol Shenesar L'mitzvah Shabbos Nesar L'chol HaShabbos Kula Chutz. Oh, now we get to the third part of the Brisa. It says, Chutz Mimavatel Rishus. Now, the only time where you could have a situation, says the Brisa, where on Erev Shabbos there was no Erev, and therefore there was an Issur Tiltul, but yet on Shabbos itself we can change that, and we can establish a Heter Tiltul, is only in the case of Bittul Rishus. Now, if Rav Nachman, you're correct, the Brisa should have gone a step further. It should have said, not you in Yoresh Lo, it should have said that Afilu Yoresh. It should have said, Chutz mi Mavatel Rishus, Vehayoresh Mavatel Rishus. Why didn't the Brisa add that additional Chiddush that even a Yoresh could be Mavatel Rishus? Amar, so Gemara says, you know how you interpret this Brisa? Chutz mi Toras Bittul Rishus. The Brisa is not interested in going into details and nuances about when and how Bittul Rishus will operate, but rather it's telling you that there's such an entity called Bittul Rishus, which would circumvent the principle of Kol She'asu B'Mikzvah Shabbos Asu L'Kol HaShabbos, and the Bittul Rishus is Matir Tiltul, the middle of Shabbos. Eisvei, the Gemara now has a second objection to Rav Nachman. From another Braisa, Echad Mibnei Chatzu Shemes, V'Niach Rishus HaLiachad Min HaShuk. What happens if you have X number of members, residents in a chater, and he dies, but he bequeathed his rishus to somebody else who was not one of the residents of the chater, who now becomes the proud owner of one of the homes that borders on this courtyard? So the Brisa says, Mibodjom, if that person, let's say Reuven Shimon Levi. So Reuven dies on Erev Shabbos, and now somebody from the Shuk inherits Reuven's property, is then Oser. Then entering into Shabbos, he's a full-fledged member of one of the Chatzer, of one of the residents of this Chatzer. He has rights to the Chatzer, and if he doesn't participate in the Eruv, that's going to undermine the Eruv. But Misha Chashecha, if on the other hand, Reuven died after Knisas HaShabbos, so the Erev was Chal, Eino Oser. Okay. Next, the Brisa goes on and says, Echad min HaShuk Shemes, there's a person who lives somewhere far away. He doesn't live in this Chatzar here, locally. And for sure he wasn't there for part of the Erev, and he died. But he niach Rishus HaLiechad min HaChatzar. He bequeathed, you know, with a written out will, his last will and testament was that one of the Bnei Chatzar would inherit his property. So what's going to happen now? Mes mibodyom, if that person who lives elsewhere died before Shabbos, is Eino Oser, he's not going to generate an Isser on the other Bnei HaChatzer. Why? Because the Yoresh was Zoche in that Rishus before Shabbos, and that person who was Yoresh was part of the Erev. So at the beginning of Shabbos, the Erev was Chal, because every single owner, every single homeowner that lives in that Chatzer participated in the Erev. But Mishecha Sheicha. But what happens if the Yoresh dies after Chashecha, that it says in the Brisa, Oser, he generates an Iser on the other Bnei HaChatzer? Why? Because the Moresh was not part of this Chatzer. And for sure, he wasn't part, therefore, the Erev. He couldn't be part of the Erev, even Al-Pidin. The Yoresh was now Zochin Rishus after the Chalos Ha-Erev. And now, the Yoresh could, right, because now he has, just one second, he has an ownership rights. Let me read it one more time. I'm just so nervous because of the clock. I'm not concentrating, so I apologize. Let me get my head back in. So again, echad min ashuk shemeis. So we have a person who. Okay. So that's where I messed up. I thought the Echad min Ashuk Shemes means that he owns property in a different chatzer, somewhere far away on the other side of the city. That was a mistake on my part. So Echad min Ashuk Shemes means that he lives in another part of the city, but he owns a house here in this chatzer. So please accept my apologies. Now, he niach reshuso liechid mibeach chotzer. So again, he could not have been part of the Erev because he doesn't live in that chotzer. It's not enough that he's the proud owner of a house in that chotzer. He has to live in the chotzer. He doesn't live in the chotzer. Now, he writes a will and testament, leaving his ownership in that chotzer to one of the bneach chotzer. So right, we have Reuven. He's the one who lives elsewhere, but owns, together with Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, and Zvulun, he owns a house in this chatzer. But he lives far away. Now, if he dies, leaving his chelek to Shimon, let's say, and Shimon was one of the participants in the Erev, then going into Shabbos, all the homes in this chatzer participate in the Erev, and therefore Eino Oser. But Mishachashecha, if he dies after nightfall, is Oser. Why? Because Reuven died, he wasn't in the Chatzer, he wasn't living in the Chatzer, and therefore he couldn't have been part of the Erev. Now on Shabbos, Shimon inherits Reuven's house in that chatzer, which was bequeathed to Shimon, and this is after the Chalos HaEruv. So we now have a homeowner who should have been part of the Eruv, but is not part of the Eruv, and he will block the validity of the Eruv for the other four members of this chatzer. So the Gemara asks, Amai Oser, why should he generate an Issa Livatel? He should be able to be Mevatel his Rishus, meaning when he, Shimon, inherits Reuven's property, and obviously Reuven's property was not part of the Erev, and that's going to now block and invalidate the Erev, well, why can't Shimon just be Mevatel's Rishus? And the answer must be that the Braisa rejects Rav Nachman and holds that a Yoresh is not capable of Bittel. He wasn't granted the power, the mechanics of Bittel. If you hold like Rav Nachman, on the other hand, that a Yoresh could be Mevatel, then why can't Shimon, who now inherits Reuven, be Mevatel that part of his ownership, meaning that part of his ownership which he inherited, that bias that he inherited, he should be able to be Mevatel it. So Gemara answers, my Oser, nami the Ketoni, ad Shiyevatel. When the Braisa says Oser, it means that now that Shimon has inherited Reuven, that house that he inherited, which is one of the homes in this chatzah and is not part of the Erev, that's going to generate an Iser, Ad Shivatel. But again, he can be Mevatel. And that's how we're going to defend and interpret this Braisa in the light of the Shita of Rav Nachman. Okay then, so we'll stop here. Let's make a note of where we got up to here. Two lines up before the end of Daf Ayin Amud Bey.